So I'll talk about localizing gravity on smooth brains, and that's work which I done together with Chaba Taki, Joe Sherliff, and Kim Hollowood, based on that work. And here's the outline. I'll start with describing very briefly Randall Sundrum idea about localizing gravity on tree brain in five-dimensional space-time, and mention several generalizations of that idea, and also directions in which people try to investigate how consistent it is, some of those directions. And then I'll describe what is the setup in our case, what we are studying and what we are not studying, and I'll give kind of five-dimensional example, and then I will argue that, for example, in the way we are studying non-dynamical gravitational backgrounds allows us to ask a set of questions about similar Randall-Sundrom realizations in gravity with scalars. It will be the only dynamical example, and I actually won't study it as a dynamical example because, as I said, I can the questions I'm asking I can study just on non-dynamical backgrounds. And then I'll try to ask questions when the gravity is localized on a brain which is at the main wall, or maybe there is more than one extra transverse dimension. So I'll ask when the Planck scale, four-dimensional Planck scale, is finite, when the there is a reasonable excitation which can be interpreted as four-dimensional graviton. And this will mostly be in conformal flat matrix, and then I will give generalization to non-conformal flat backgrounds. And then I will study the corrections to the Newton's law. I'll have several examples in which I will show that in all of those examples, the situations when the Planck scale is finite and at the same time the four-dimensional graviton exists, in that is, the five-dimensional wave function of it is normalizable, it's equivalent to conditions that the corrections to the Newton's law are sub-leading. And then I briefly give a conclusion. So about a year ago, Randall and Sundrum realized that gravity for the particles localized on a three brain in five-dimensional space-time can appear as a four-dimensional and not five-dimensional gravity. And they looked for a stable gravitational solution with this following ansatz, and where I explicitly wrote this to show the metric signature which we chose. And they said it is a finite or infinite extra dimension. So if you look, it's a slice of ADS space, but just a slice, not a full ADS space. To obtain such a solution for gravitational equation, they considered a gravity action which had a cosmological constant, negative cosmological constant, and a brain located, say, at the origin, depending on your choice of coordinates, with some non-zero tension, and M star in this case is a fundamental scale in five dimensions, or fundamental scale in whichever number of dimensions they will be working. The solution of this type exists if fine-tuning condition is satisfied. Namely, if you solve the equations in the bulk, you'll have expression for the cosmological constant and this scaling parameter K here, curvature of the space, and if you solve it matching conditions on the brain, you get an expression for the brain tension, so there is one fine-tuning condition. And if the dimension is finite with the second brain at the end of the dimension, they needed a brain with negative tension, and which also was fine-tuned, so effectively they had a number of brain corresponds to a number of fine-tuning they must do to have this four-dimensional flat slice. The original motivation was the solution of hierarchy problem, and one of the original motivations for them. And the scales in a series for the particles which are localized on a negative tension brain, because of this exponential factor, they are suppressed, and therefore it's alternative possible potential alternative solution to hierarchy problem. When they solved gravitational equations, they observed that graviton zero mode admits a sensible four-dimensional interpretation as a graviton, that the continuum Kallusak-Klein modes are suppressed near the brain, near the positive tension brain, and therefore do not give large contributions to the gravitational interactions, and for large distances between particles located on that brain, the four-dimensional, gravitational interaction has a four-dimensional term plus a small correction. There have been several generalizations of this idea. One generalization was to combine idea of graviton localized on a brain with the idea for solving hierarchy problem and not have a negative tension brain. One can send basically negative tension brain to infinity, have non-compact extra dimension, and have a probe brain whose tension is relatively small to the Planck scale brain. So the graviton wave function is mostly localized here, and this brain is in the tail of graviton wave function. And because of the warp factor in the metric, the scale of the mass scale of this brain, all except gravitational scale, looks as a TeV scale. And again, this is a fine-tuned solution. It's for, to be static solution, you need again one fine-tuning for each brain. Another generalization involves brains in high dimension one brains in higher dimensional space-time intersecting over three space. So this picture, for example, there are four brains in six-dimensional space-time which intersect over three brains. And more generally, they can intersect, there can be brain junctions with some tension on the junction. In all of those cases, there is again at least one fine-tuning for basically for each junction. Another generalization involves going from the domain walls to more dimensions. So Kaplan and Cohen, for example, considered a global cosmic three-brain in six dimensions, and in their solutions there was a singularity which effectively compactified transverse dimensions. But to be exponentially large. And finally, there was another idea about quasi-localization of gravity. And the point here was, let me actually go back to this picture. Here is the TeV brain. In original idea, Randall and Sundrum had this is a Planck positive tension brain. In original idea, Randall and Sundrum had a negative tension brain here on which the space-time ends. And what Gregory Rubakov and Tiberikov suggested is that beyond negative tension brain, there may be just a flat Minkowski space. Then at very large distances, because asymptotically space is Minkowski, there clearly is a five-dimensional Newton law. It's also a five-dimensional at very small distances, but you can tune parameters in such a way that in intermediate distances, the Newton's law appears four-dimensional. And I'll describe a little bit at the end a little bit why how you can understand this. So another way of looking at the picture is to consider if there exists a consistent macroscopic description, and ideally one would find string theory realization or show that it's not realizable in a string theory, which is very difficult. So people looked at kind of smaller steps. For example, presumably this domain wall in Randall-Sundrum case should have some smooth realization where it's not a delta function. And indeed, such domain walls with localized gravity were constructed in gravity with scalar fields. It was also suggested that in supersymmetric generalization might exist, also it was not proper. It wasn't really localization of the gravity, but there was discussed the possibility of supersymmetric domain wall which interpolates between singular spaces. The problem by it was a paper by Miriam Svetich and I forget other people, but the problem why it's not completely satisfactory is that the domain wall or would be domain wall exactly located at the singularity. So that was not completely satisfactory. With the delta function domain walls, there exists a supersymmetric generalization of Randall-Sundrum, which was constructed just recently, and it also includes negative tension brain. On the other hand, there have been several no-go theorems which excluded large class of five-dimensional supergravity theories. In other words, in large class of five-dimensional supergravity theories, you can have warp compactifications and the main wall, but not of the type which localize gravity. Here we considered a smaller step, and namely, whatever happens, presumably there is some smooth realization, even if it doesn't have five-dimensional field theory description. So we studied a smooth generalization of Randall's syndrome scenario, and basically asked the questions under which conditions there is localization of gravity, and we studied this in non-dynamical backgrounds.
Really? Yeah. At the same time, can you show that you localize the standard model particles on the brain? I mean, one of the features of this brainwell scenario, right, is that you localize all the stuff on the brain. People imagine that there is a mechanism for doing this, like sort of deep brain.
Yeah, so
seeing as how it's not deep brains, right?
So there are a couple of things. First of all, the brain may be some complicated bound state, I think, and there might be some structure in it, some defects which localize the standard model particles either at the core of the brain or at some distance from the core. And secondly, this localization of gravity actually will allow you that the standard model fields are kind of have wave functions which are kind of spread out at least at the depth of the brain, and you'll see that really actually localization of gravity does not really depend on position of those particles, so you can reasonably spread out those particles on the distance of the brain. So the setup is the following. I will study the solutions to the gravity equations which have the following ansatz. There is possibly more than one transverse dimension, and the function A determining the warp factor is a smooth function. I also set it everywhere that at the origin A of 0 is just 0. And for most of the time, I will concentrate on a more restricted class of metrics, which are conformally flat, but will give generalization to non-conformally flat cases. So this metric, and for example, for conformally flat case, this function A of z specifies a solution but to gravity equations, but does not specify what theory produced them. For non-dynamical backgrounds, as you'll see in a minute, I can deduce what the background stress energy tensor is, but for the most part, I will not discuss whether this background stress energy tensor is a reasonable stress energy tensor which can be generated by dynamical fields or arise from dynamical fields. So let me give one five-dimensional example of that background stress energy tensor. So it's just a slight generalization of original Randall syndrome, which has a kind of cosmological constant which depends on the coordinate in the fifth dimension, and some brain tension which is also smeared out over the fifth dimension. If you look at the stress energy tensor, it has the following form. This term by itself would be have five-dimensional covariance, but this is only four-dimensional covariance. And this form of background stress energy tensor is the most general one which preserves four-dimensional Lorentz invariance. To have a static solution with the warp factor, these two arbitrary functions, lambda and v, actually have to satisfy certain conditions. And this is a kind of smooth version of Randall syndrome fine-tuning. In this case, it's fine-tuning between two functions, not just between two numbers. And it's easy to see that if a cosmological constant is really a constant and the potential is a delta function or brain tension is a delta function, it reduces to Randall syndrome. So the only dynamical example which I will discuss is the main wall from a scalar field. So let me consider some action for the gravity which has in d dimensions, which has a scalar field with certain potential. And potential, let me assume that potential is such that it allows for a domain wall solution with some non-trivial profile for the scalar field. I can look at stress tensor for the scalar field. And considering that background is non-trivial, I can deduce background stress tensor. And as you can see, I can easily put it in the form of the previous transparency. Here is the five-dimensional covariant term, and here is the term which is only has only four-dimensional covariance. That does not yet mean that I can neglect completely the scalar if I want to study localization of gravity, because in general, equations for the metric perturbations and scalar perturbation will be coupled differential equations. But I'm only
Excuse me a second. I'm a little puzzled by your statement about only four-dimensional covariance. I mean, you have a five-dimensional Lagrangian involving gravity and a scalar field, and you're just picking some smooth scalar field configuration.
Mm-hmm.
So the stress tensor will be, you know, have the usual symmetries of a five-dimensional stress tensor.
It does, but I'm now looking at the background, so the symmetry, Lorentz symmetries, Poincaré symmetries in the fifth dimension are spontaneously broken by the main wall, and I'm only looking at this background values of this tensor.
Okay, are you simply saying it doesn't have Poincaré invariance in five dimensions?
Yeah, this background thing. The whole theory certainly is generally covariant, but the solution I'm looking at breaks Poincaré invariance in extra dimension.
Okay. Your indices mu and nu, are those
local? Mu and nu are, say, 0 to d,
yeah,
or d minus 1, and a, b is just four-dimensional ones.
Oh, I see.
Well, actually, not four-dimensional, but d minus 1 dimensional, if a general d-dimensional case. So, this doesn't, the fact that I can put a metric, stress tensor in this form does not mean that I can study localization of gravity just in, with the background and neglect scalar field, because, as I said, the fluctuations equation can be coupled differential equations. However, I'm only interested in studying graviton excitations, which have d minus 1 or four-dimensional polarizations depending on what g is. And in particular, for such polarizations and for scalar field with this profile, I have this equation, and I can look at the equation of motion for the scalar field. And I can find that, and it's easy to see that if the profile phi of r satisfies non-perturbed equation of motion, it also satisfies the perturbed equation of motion, so I consistently can set scalar perturbation to zero. And in this case, I can study the effect of gravity localization, completely forgetting where this domain wall came from. And before I go to study localization of gravity, let me, as an aside, mention the specific form of the scalar potential. In general case, I had that these two functions, lambda and v, have to be fine-tuned to have this conformally flat domain wall, and expressed in terms of the scale factors. For the scalar field case, it implies the following two equations. And if I also assume, so in other words, I can write scalar potential as a function of derivatives of the scale factor. If I also assume that the scalar profile is monotonic function of the extra coordinate, I can define a new function of the scalar field, which is equal to this derivative of the scale factor. And I can easily, from this expression, I can easily describe the expression for the scalar potential, which is, has a supersymmetric form. But this supersymmetric form is, has nothing to do with supersymmetry, just a consequence of my assumption that the theory has a domain wall solution where scalar profile is monotonic. So, to see if gravity is localized, I start with d-dimensional theory and I go to four dimensions. It's like in a standard compactification, I should integrate out extra transverse dimensions and obtain a theory with finite Planck scale. So I can look at the action, gravity action, in d dimensions, look at this term, and expanded keeps just induced four-dimensional metric and induced curvature. And here I rescale the metric. My metric had a work factor e to the minus a. I rescale them out of the metric to have just flat Minkowski metric and put them in this integral. And I can easily see that four-dimensional Planck constant is just given by this expression. So it will be finite if this integral is finite. That's the condition for, and that determines what the behavior of the scale factor must be for gravity to be localized. Another thing I must look at is if I have a four-dimensional graviton, so I should look at fluctuations around this metric. So I introduce this fluctuation, which has only polarizations of four-dimensional graviton. And it depends on the coordinates in all, for example, five or d dimensions, where d would be a vector in extra dimension. I can make a Kaluza-Klein decomposition of this graviton fluctuation, and zero mode of the graviton, of the Kaluza-Klein decomposition, would be a candidate for the graviton. So I'm doing a classical theory, so I should integrate over the extra dimension because my candidate graviton does not depend on a position in extra dimension. And I should ask if I have a normalizable canonical kinetic term for the graviton. So again, I'm looking at the kinetic term for the graviton in D dimension, where I made some rescaling so that it really does not contain square root of G. I rescaled this fluctuation already. And I can substitute my Kaluza-Klein decomposition, look at the zero mode, and again I obtain a condition that the kinetic term of the graviton is normalizable if this integral is finite, where psi zero is kind of wave function of this Kaluza-Klein decomposition. And note that the same condition as I had on the previous transparency, so that determines me essentially what the psi zero function is without even solving fluctuation equation for the graviton.
It could fall off faster. You had an integral that you said was convergent before.
And yeah, it could fall off faster, and as you see in a minute, it actually is the same. So yeah, you're right, this can fall off faster than this, the integral will still be convergent. But you can argue it in the following way. This must be up to a numerical factor. This is a kinetic term for the graviton. Just on dimensional grounds, if you have four-dimensional gravity, it has to contain M Planck squared. And from integrating out the gravity, it also contains M Planck squared. So it actually has to, even from this, it has to fall off like that. So, but to do it properly, to find not only zero mode wave function, but higher excitations, I should properly look at the equations of motion. So the perturbed Einstein tensor has the following form, and it really is much bigger, but I just kept the terms which are non-vanishing for my scalar profile and my assumption about fluctuations of what polarizations of the graviton I keep. We also assume that the perturbation in the stress energy tensor is linear in the perturbation in the graviton, in the metric. And that's true for, you can easily check it for this non-dynamical background which we chose. It's also true for the scalar stress energy tensor. So substituting, I have this my dynamic non-dynamical stress tensor which has the functions lambda and v, which in turn are expressed as derivatives of the scale factor A. So I know what my perturbation of the stress energy tensor is. And after some rescaling, I obtain equation for the graviton perturbation, for the metric perturbation. Again, I want to decompose it in Kaluza-Klein mode, where this four-dimensional field will satisfy the equation for a particle of four-dimensional mass m squared, m equals zero would be my graviton candidate, And I want to look what the equation of what is the equation for the wave function psi for given Kaluza-Klein mode. And it actually has a very simple form of Schrodinger equation with some potential, given like this. And to find what the zero mode wave function is and what the excited state wave functions are, I just have to solve this Schrodinger equation. And for zero mode, it's very simple. Actually, in general, the differential operator in the Schrodinger equation can be factorized in the following way. So it has a form of supersymmetric quantum mechanics. So one can easily see that zero mode state, ground state of this quantum mechanics problem is just zero energy state. And one can see also that easily this, for zero mode, this equation just becomes first order differential equation, and one can elementarily find the zero mode wave function, which is exactly as I showed before. And again, I chose normalization where scale factor vanishes at the origin, and therefore psi 0 is 1. Now I have normalizable gravity action. I have normalizable graviton. So my gravitational interaction in a full theory will contain a term which looks like a four-dimensional Newton's interaction. The Newton's constant will be given by this expression, and let me argue why this is so. When I integrated out, for example, when I integrated out Planck scale, a couple of transparencies before, for the kinetic term of the graviton, this is just m4 squared, which is inverse of Newton's constant. So substituting it back and knowing what psi 0 is, I see that m star 2 to the minus d over the normalization of the zero mode wave function should give me Newton's constant. I also, Newton's effective four-dimensional interaction should not depend on normalization of the wave function, so it really must contain psi 0 at origin, and I'm calculating the Newton's constants for particles localized at the origin. For my choice, psi 0 at the origin was just 1, but as you see, the whole thing does not depend on normalization. I can also consider the particles which are localized not at the origin, but at some finite value of the extra coordinates. And the coupling of the zero modes to those particles will be suppressed by the ratio of zero mode wave function at that coordinate n at the origin. So the four-dimensional term in gravitational interaction will have this extra suppression, which I can interpret either as changing my effective Newton's constant or by redefining the masses for particles located at different distances. In either case, the gravitational interaction for particles located at the origin is much stronger than for the particles located at some coordinate. So it is possible solution for hierarchy problem. That's all I wanted to say here.
Let me just understand what's got into this. You haven't assumed a specific form for A yet, but you have assumed that it basically approaches ADS on both sides?
Actually, it doesn't have to approach ADS on both sides. It's normalizable, basically. This expression, you'll see that if it's not ADS, I'm not guaranteed that there will not be singularities, etc. But I only assume that this d minus 2 over 2a dz is finite. That's the only thing which I assumed. And I have finite four-dimensional Planck scale normal kinetic term for the graviton and effective four-dimensional interaction. It also does not tell me that Kaluza-Klein modes will not correct the Newton's law so that I won't see a four-dimensional Newton's law. What I'm going to argue next or a bit later, and I don't remember, in a couple of transparencies, is that whenever this is normalizable and there is a kinetic four-dimensional term in gravitational interaction, Kaluza-Klein modes at the location of the particles are also suppressed. And so so here is the brain, and I have a particle on the brain. And what I'm going to argue is whenever the scale factor is normalizable, Kaluza-Klein modes are suppressed so that the interaction between these two particles on the brain appears as four-dimensional. And the condition for normalizability is exactly the same as condition for decoupling of Kaluza-Klein modes. But first, let me just generalize it to non-conformally flat backgrounds. So here is the general metric. Which is not conformally flat. And what I want to look at is to expand action to obtain four-dimensional Planck scale, doing it in the same way in non-conformal background. I have this expression. So the analog of wave function, which I had before, is just this g00 square root of g, where g is the full g-dimensional metric, and I put here again the induced four-dimensional metric, which is just 1 minus 1 minus 1 minus 1. I shouldn't have both of them, but I just rescaled all these factors out of the four-dimensional part of the metric out here from the determinant. So to have effective four-dimensional finite Planck scale, again, this expression must be finite. And from this and from previous arguments, one can deduce what the wave function is. Zero mode wave function is just given by that expression. And one could do the same thing with just properly looking at fluctuations equation. And I didn't try them on transparency. So the fluctuations equations would be...
So the zero mode now depends on all the z's? When you write z, that means...
Yeah, it depends all on all the z's. Yeah, in general, it's the right extra dimension. I later in example with more than five dimensions, I'll assume that it's spherically symmetric, so it will also only depend on radial coordinate. But I don't have to do it, and in principle, I can consider non-trivial dependence on all the z's. So another way I could derive the zero-mode wave function was just writing down equation of motion for the fluctuation. And what I would find that zero mode in this normalization must be H zero mode would be just a constant. So if I rescale the field in proper way that four-dimensional graviton has canonical kinetic term, the zero mode wave function is becoming what I wrote on the transparency. But in a proper and original normalization, the wave function is just a constant. So for non-zero mode wave function psi of n, it would satisfy the equation of motion, which is given by a non-zero mode wave function, which is kind of has correct four-dimensional normalization for the flat space, would have to satisfy this equation. So I could do it either by looking at four-dimensional Planck scale or making a proper Kaluza-Klein decomposition and looking at kinetic terms. Now I want to look at the corrections to the Newton law. So I said the gravitational interaction has a four-dimensional kinetic, four-dimensional term, but there is also a correction from Kaluza-Klein mode. For the particles located at the origin, they might be suppressed by the wave function of excited state at the origin. So let me first check that it's the right form, which is almost trivial. If it's a flat space, there is no normalizable four-dimensional graviton, so this term is absent. The Kaluza-Klein continuum goes down to zero, and the wave functions of Kaluza-Klein states are not suppressed at the origin. So I can just integrate this out and actually look at the limit of m equals to zero and see that the gravitational interaction is properly d-dimensional and not four-dimensional. Let me further assume that, come back to the Schrödinger equation, which I was solving for Kaluza-Klein wave functions, for wave functions of Kaluza-Klein mode. If the potential as z goes to infinity is positive, tends to a positive number, then clearly there is a gap in solution of Schrödinger equation, and there is a four-dimensional regime at sufficiently low energy and sufficiently large distances. However, we didn't investigate it in the details. It's not the most interesting case, but I don't suspect that it's any physical case when you look at it as more dimensional gravity. The more interesting case is when the potential of the Schrödinger equation goes to zero as z goes to infinity. In that case, continuum extends to zero. We might or might not have, depending on the form of the scale factor, have normalizable ground state, but now this expression can be singular at the lower limit and can give large corrections to the gravitational interaction. So we want to, what I want to do is to determine importance of this correction without specifying what the behavior of the potential in the Schrödinger equation is near the origin. If I wanted to, in other words, I don't want to really solve the equations for wave functions of excited modes. And I also make a simplifying assumption that the potential depends on a single parameter. So the scale factor, for example, in the metric depends just on a single parameter, just to have a simplifying assumption. So let me start with a five-dimensional example. The zero mode wave function, I won't be completely general, so I assume that zero mode wave function has power law follow. Looking at back at the Schrödinger equation, this means that the potential in the Schrödinger equation has 1 over z squared fall off at large distances. And I don't know, I don't want to specify its form for small z. The wave function is normalizable if this exponent is greater than 1/2. The point which I want to argue is that at the same time, that will be the same condition as the condition for Kaluza-Klein modes to be give small correction, to be in subleading, to give subleading correction. Example of such a potential which can have can be exactly solved. One of the examples is when the scale factor is this log for alpha equals 3/2, it's just smoothing out of Randall syndrome. Asymptotically, it's ADS space. For other values of alpha, it's not even asymptotes to ADS space. And that has a potential which with some specific form near the origin, but if you can easily see that asymptotically for large z, it falls off like 1 over z squared, and wave function which asymptotically falls off as g to the minus alpha. And in principle, potential or the scale factor could depend on other dimensionful parameters which specify the kind of structure of the brain. And I assume that there is only one parameter, but the results will be independent of that. So here's kind of a form of the potential. This is distance in extra dimensions of order 1 over k, on which the potential has some undetermined form. And beyond 1 over k, when the coordinate is much larger than 1 over k, the asymptotic behavior 1 over g squared already went in. And there is another kind of region. This region is separated into two because I'm interested in studying mode with small Kaluza-Klein number, so it's associated with some large distance scale. In region near the origin, I don't want to solve Schrodinger equation, but it's meaningful to expand the solution in powers of Kaluza-Klein number. So the wave functions for the mode with Kaluza-Klein number psi m will be close, will be approximated by zero mode wave function plus the term which scales as m squared, and this second term will obey some non-homogeneous differential equation which I'm not going to solve, because all I want to do is to determine what is the right dependence of this overall normalization coefficient on Kaluza-Klein number. To do this, I should look at the wave function in the region where there is already asymptotic for log 1 over z squared. And there I can find an exact solution which is given by combination of Bessel functions. In the second region, z is already large, but mz is small, so I can expand my Bessel functions in powers of mz and match this expansion with my expansion of wave function near the origin in powers of m squared. And generically, there are two coefficients in wave functions. Generically, for generic potentials, I will find the following behavior, that the coefficients in Bessel functions are matched with this overall normalization near the z equals 0 in the following way. I can also see which coefficient dominates when the wave function is normalizable. The coefficient, one of them dominates. Furthermore, since I had an exact solution, I now know that this coefficient in Bessel functions, in front of Bessel functions A and B at very large z, when the wave function for excited mode already must be a plane wave. And so if I normalize, if I require that the normalization of the wave function at very large z is a plane wave, that determines me essentially how the coefficient Cm and the wave function for the excited state scales with the Kaluza-Klein number. And looking at the scaling and substituting it back into the corrections to the Newton's law, I can see that Newton's interaction will have the following form. And you see that the second term here will be subleading as long as alpha is greater than 1/2, the same condition as the normalizability of zero mode wave function. Yeah.
Okay, so a little puzzle. So originally you said, okay, you want this thing to fall off like some power, and you get a potential which does that.
Yeah.
And that particular solution blows up at the origin, so its value at the origin becomes arbitrarily big.
No. I gave a potential. Right. If the potential was exactly 1 over z squared, right, it would blow up. I assume that there is some potential of this form which in this region goes like 1 over z squared.
But we're not assuming anything about what happens in the middle.
Yeah, aside from its kind of generic smooth potential.
Okay. So if we had taken that potential, the 1 over z squared potential or something, and let it continue very close to the origin, maybe capping it off just right at the origin, then the solution would grow very large near the origin. Right? And the size of the origin would be very big. It would be close to your asymptotic solution down to small z.
It will be close to my asymptotic solution down at small z. Right. See. But then if I really want to do this, to let asymptotic this fall off to go very close to z, I'm really taking the limit where it's essentially Randall syndrome, where the fall off, where they have their potential, right, it's one over z squared everywhere, and there is a delta function here. So in that limit, I also know already that that's exactly the limit which works that Kaluza-Klein modes decouple.
But their potential is finite at the brain. So, I mean, it's not 1 over z. Yeah, and the brain's not at z equals 0 then.
I'm sorry?
I mean, the Randall syndrome potential is something which is finite. It has this tail, and then it's finite at the brain, right? With some delta function. So it doesn't diverge as you approach the brain.
Yeah, I guess, but I mean, right, but I do assume that there is some smoothing in such a way that the integral of the potential is reasonable, allowing for zero mode wave function. If it diverges, right, then...
Well, that's why I thought you cut it off. I don't want anything actually to diverge.
Yeah.
You kept making a point about how your argument was independent of what was happening near the brain.
It's independent of the but I think it's independent. Well, my argument is, I mentioned, I hope somewhere, that this argument and this matching of the M dependence is only works for generic potential. They can basically, there is an expansion, there is a coefficient AM1 over square root of Z and expansion in powers of MZ, which starts with 1, and the risk coefficient BM, MZ squared, which I match to this, to the M squared term in my expansion near the origin. But for non-generic potentials, and there is this high MZ term here, both this term and this term I match to M squared term in my expansion near the origin, but in principle this term can be matched instead of M squared term to higher term in my expansion near the origin. So when I did the matching to determine BM, the lowest order to which this term could match was M squared term in expansion of wave function near the origin. But potentially, it could have higher power. That BM could be could have higher, could scale with higher power of M, with some higher power of M, and be matched in this expansion. In this expansion, it could be matched not to this, but to the next order term, phi 1, phi 2, and then it would be a non-generic potential. And for those potentials, they don't have this argument.
How
about you? So, let's see. Where did I stop? Okay, so anyway, my argument, I ended up by saying that the corrections to the from the continuum modes are suppressed exactly when the zero mode is normalizable, at least for generic smooth potential. And actually, I'm just not ready to do it off the top of my head. We introduced, we looked at the potential with two order parameters, which basically specify the width, how far this 1 over d squared goes. K specifies asymptotic, say, ideas behavior, curvature asymptotic ideas, and we introduced all another parameter, dimensional parameter to describe the width of this well in the potential, and the problem with that is that you cannot solve it analytically and look at it analytically, but in large mu limit there is no gravity localization because brain itself is very wide. In mu order k, we obtain our result, and mu going to zero, vice versa, I'm sorry, we had this limit which gives us Randall-Sundrum delta function. Let me consider, we can Randall scenario for the hierarchy problem. Let me assume that matter is localized at d0, which is not origin, and then I can there is a hierarchy because effective four-dimensional Newton's gravitational coupling is suppressed, and I had need square here. It is suppressed relative to the gravitational coupling near the origin. Alternatively, as I said before, I can redefine what I mean by mass of the four-dimensional mass of the particle at z not equal to zero, and I can look at again corrections to the gravitational law for sufficiently large values. I assume that my particles are localized at sufficiently large coordinate in extra dimensions, just not to worry where they are on this. Where the details of potential matter, and I can look at this corrections to the Newton law, and they are suppressed by again by the ratio of psi a of Kaluza-Klein wave function of mode m to the zero mode wave function, and if I look at sufficiently small m, I can do the same procedure I did before, and this ratio will be given by the same power of Kaluza-Klein number. So again, this power of Kaluza, in other words, the importance of corrections for particles located at d0 for sufficiently small Kaluza-Klein number will be the same as importance of corrections for the Kaluza-Klein corrections for the particle located at the origin. And that also allows me to answer your question, and because the general form is the same, I could imagine spreading out the wave function over the, some region, which is thickness of the brain, and I would obtain a region where there is a four-dimensional law, Newton's law. There might be a subtlety in the following sense. If particles are localized and non-zero, but some finite value of z0, then the gravitational coupling is suppressed, and also the Kaluza-Klein contributions depend on how small m I must take to have this scaling satisfied. Now, if they're spread out, the gravitational coupling is not so much suppressed because the main contribution comes from the origin, but this scaling still requires me to take sufficiently small m for Kaluza-Klein contributions at the boundary of wave function not to be very large, and therefore that limits the range where the Newton's law is four-dimensional to maybe scales lower than the natural scale for that particle spread out of the over the thick brain. So one can easily generalize it to cases where there are more than five dimensions or more than one transverse dimension by again expanding in Kaluza-Klein modes and assuming that there is some SON symmetry in transverse dimension expanding in rotational harmonics, and one can look at only at modes with L equals zero for two reasons. First of all, the most natural assumption is that particles localized on the brain do not transform under global SON of extra dimensions, of transverse dimensions. Second, they do not transform under SON and therefore do not couple at tree level at L not equals zero modes. The first assumption is that it's not even an assumption that L equals zero modes are largest at the origin, at the brain. And finally, presumably, even if the matter is transforming under SON, the sum of the angular momentum can be convergent. So one can look what is the condition for zero mode wave function to be normalizable. I will assume that it again decreases as a power law, where rho is radial coordinate in the transverse dimension, and it will be normalizable if this exponent is given by d minus 4 over 2, and again it's just one half of the case I considered previously. Repeating what I've done in five dimensions, I can see that the Kaluza-Klein wave mode non-zero m wave functions near the origin scale with a given power of Kaluza-Klein number, I can look at how it behaves at the bottom of the limit of the integration, and again I can see that this correction is subleading if zero mode is normalizable. What I had in mind doing here, actually I didn't specify it anywhere that I was working in the conformal flat background, but this can also be done and it would also be give the same result for non-conformal flat background, just by generalizing what the wave functions are. So let me conclude on this by saying that we studied various aspects of collision gravity on smooth brains, which may or may not be domain walls. There may be more than one extra dimension. And one can study various possibilities, for example, Leakin-Randall hierarchy generating scenario, brains in more than five dimensions, intersecting brains, which I didn't speak about, or quasi-localization of the gravity. And for example, if one studies quasi-localization of the gravity, that is where the asymptotically the space is Minkowski, and in the middle it's something like ADS, a slice of ADS, one can see that the gravity can be four-dimensional and intermediate distances if there is a resonant mode at zero energy for this quantum mechanical potential which you study, and no bound state. Well, there cannot be bound state because asymptotically wave function goes to the constant and it's not normalizable, but it's possible that there is a resonant mode at m equals zero, which will imply that there is a four-dimensional gravity at an intermediate scale.
Question? Well, that's the thing that's